Welcome to the Small Business Podcast with David Michaels and Daniel Miller. Listen to how well that just rolls off my tongue. You should be listening to this show every single week because you can be learning about business. But before we learn more about business, let's listen to David Michaels and say, hi, David Michaels.
Hi, Daniel Miller.
How are you doing?
Fantastic. The way it just rolled off your tongue, you know, you figure after, what episode number are we up to, 80-something?
I am looking now. We are 86.
86, after 85 episodes prior, saying welcome to the Small Business Podcast, I think it should roll off your tongue by now. So good job.
No, it's the other way you can go around it is you have people go and say, welcome to the Small Business Podcast.
Oh my gosh, I can't stand podcasts like that where they're all like, it's one guy and he just talks really quiet and takes a yawn because he's obviously bored hearing himself talk.
I agree completely. Oh my gosh, that's why you need to listen to the Small Business Podcast, not only because you can find out what good podcasting is, but Josh, you can learn something. And this week, we're going to be learning about business decisions and listening to too many people's advice. Now, David, you've been working on a secret project, right?
Top secret.
Well, it's so secret. We can't even share it with the people who are in the public, but we can share it with our Small Business Podcast listeners.
That's right.
We talked about it last week, which was the... Say it again?
It's called Superpowers Unlimited. It's a superhero/villain-based tabletop role-playing game.
Sell it, David.
Yeah, it's awesome. So
it is awesome. And one of the things that we went to was that you and I both were talking about cool things you can do for advertising. And I suggested that you should get it done before Christmas. And ironically, the name of today's episode is Listening to Too Many People's Advice. Now, I want to go ahead and clarify it. I'm not clowning into that too many people, am I?
No. You're fine. No. You were fine. Don't worry.
Because I don't want to be in that group of people who harasses.
No, the game still needed work. Excuse me. I had some Brazilian nuts and pecans, just kind of like a light snack before, and a little piece was still in my throat there.
That's what you said.
Anyways, yeah, so the game still needed a lot of work. I would have loved to have it ready this Christmas, but I just got started on it too late, so it wasn't happening. I am hoping to get it working by January, though.
Okay.
So that's my goal.
Well, that sounds like a good goal. And what's standing in the way of you getting that done?
Well, so far it's been, you know, I'm also enrolled in university, so the past couple weeks have been kind of dominated by papers and final exams and stuff, so temporary little delay on production for that, but I've only got one final paper left and then I'm done, so I hope to have that done probably tomorrow or the day after. The game itself has been evolving tremendously, and the more people that come in and beta test it, the more people that are playing it, the better, because I get more feedback and we find more bugs that come up and things that need fixing and balancing and, you know, keep it fair and fun for everybody, because the game allows you to create any superpower you want. And the more people we have coming in, they start coming up with really creative powers that, based on the existing system, they can kind of abuse and overpower themselves with and make it no fun for anyone else. So I have to figure out how to counterbalance that and keep it open and fair for everybody.
And well, my concept is, have you gone and developed like an Excel spreadsheet?
That's exactly what we're using.
Oh my gosh, we are totally in simpatico.
Yeah, it's we're using an Excel sheet. And then later I have a programmer who's going to make an actual like computer app that does it all for you. It looks nice, and you can import a picture, and it automatically updates all your stats and everything for you. It's really cool. But anyways, so as we're getting more beta testers in, some of them have a lot of role-playing game experience and have run these games before. You know, be called a game master, or like if you play Dungeons & Dragons, you'd be called a dungeon master. Same thing. They're the person who is in charge of the actual story and the rules and making sure everyone is following them to keep the adventure moving. So when they come in and they're playing the game, they're like, oh, this is great, but here's a problem. And I look, I say, yes, I agree, that is a problem. So then they suggest some possible solutions. And some of them are really great ideas. And some of them start bringing us into today's topic on the show, which is, you know, they present an idea, I like it, so we go for it, we make that rule change, or we add that feature, or whatever, and then they come up with a new thing, and a new thing, and a new thing, and then after a while, it's like, I guess they, I don't know, start feeling like they're co-creating the game, or I don't know what it is, or they're just trying to be helpful. But either way, it's, if you're not careful, it can start slipping out of your hands, and multiple people from multiple angles are all coming in saying, no, it needs to do this, no, you need to add that, no, you need to change this, or I don't like that, but the other person does, and this and that. And all of a sudden, it's like that saying, it's like too many cooks in the kitchen spoil the pot, or however the saying goes. You familiar with that?
It's close enough. I always go with the one of too many chiefs and not enough Indians.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Same basic concept. So on one hand, they're giving a lot of valuable feedback. On the other hand, the game is getting very complex very quickly, and I want this game to still be relatively simple. I want it to be to where someone who hasn't done a tabletop role-playing game before can jump in relatively quickly and easily without being lost or confused. With me, the first role-playing game I ever played was Dungeons & Dragons. And they're like, what kind of character do you want to be? I'm like, I don't know, somebody who can use magic. That sounds like fun. So they're like, okay, so you'd be like a sorcerer or a wizard or something. And I'm like, all right. And so I picked sorcerer. Turns out that's like one of the most complex characters you can start with. I never should have started with that. I am lost completely. And the more experienced players are just like, oh, put points into charisma and will and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. But I have no idea what I'm doing. With my game, I want it to be, it's like you just explain it real quick, how the system works, and they get, oh, okay, I get it, and then the imagination is their limit. And that's how the game started, but now as it's getting more advanced and we're finding these issues where certain things are out of balance, it's really easy to very quickly make it super complicated, like Dungeons & Dragons or worse. Which maybe isn't recommended for beginning players, certainly not if you want to have superpowers. If you just want to be a regular fighter, that's more simple, I'm told. But that's not what my game is, and I don't want it to become too complicated. I don't want to keep creating more and more rules to patch the previous rules that were patching a problem on a previous rule before that. And with multiple people giving advice, as a business owner, I have to say, okay, that's good advice. I agree with what they're saying. But if too many are doing it at the same time, they end up at some point clashing and mixing and mismatching.
Right.
And before you even realize it happening, suddenly you're no longer in control of the project. Everybody else is. And it's your business. It's your project. It's not just that you have the final say. It's you are the guiding vision. So it's an art. You know, there's no general rule like after 10 pieces of advice you cut them off or anything like that. I want to continue getting feedback from people, but I have to find that happy spot, that happy medium of, okay, thank you for your suggestion there, but I'm going to go in a different direction. And some people don't like that because they want to be helpful. But if they want a game to go that way, then they need to create their own game. This is mine.
And what they do with the programming things is instead of whenever someone else says, hey, I want this feature, or hey, I think this will be great, what the programmers do is they take it and put it into an Excel spreadsheet and say, this is the feature somebody wants. If enough people generate enough interest, they actually will go and put that function in. So you can take everybody's suggestions, and until it starts turning into someone wants, a lot of people want that, then there's no need to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's even more subtle things, not so much features. That's definitely part of it. But, like, little rules, like, how many times per turn can a character do this thing? And in what way, what circumstances? And then, like, it seems to work sometimes in the game, and then, like, later on when your character becomes a higher level, it comes completely out of balance again. So it's... I'm like, all right, should I just cut it out? Should I restrict it more? And it's just getting very complex very quickly. I can't really be more specific about it without actually spending an hour explaining all the details. But you get the gist of it.
And that's what any programmer run into. They'll tell you if they're developing a game with three different people with three different talents, you have problems.
Yeah.
I mean, a good example of that, look at StarCraft. They have three aliens in there. The humans, the Zerg, and the Protoss. And there was supposed to be more. I think there was supposed to be five at one point in time.
Wow.
And they got rid of it because it was difficult to balance everything out. You'd have one group doing one thing that had a specialty, but that would totally overwhelm the other specialty. And so basically what you're looking at was a paper, rock, scissors situation in every situation. So
right.
You'd be fine if someone picked one group, but if you picked the other group, you could totally do well. And so that's the same thing I'm sure you're running into. Basically, everything boils down to paper, rock, scissors. And you need to find some way of making sure that if anybody chooses paper, they don't totally overwhelm everybody who chose rock.
Right, and it was, oh my goodness, that one step, one guy has suggested that we actually institute classes. So, like, for example, you could pick a wizard or a shapeshifter or
wizard,
a...
Wizard, superhero? That's too weird for me.
Well, you know, that's like Doctor Strange. You know, he's got his magic powers. You know, there are comic book characters who are like that, or you know, someone who is just a teleporter, like Nightcrawler, or someone who can just super speed, like the Flash, or something. And you know, some people were like really pushing for this. I'm like, okay, on one hand, I like that because you build a more themed character, and some of our beta testers were just making characters that had just a little smorgasbord of all kinds of powers. Which is fun for them, but it makes a less interesting story. But I'm noticing in these test games that the majority of the players make a pretty well-themed character on their own. So I decided, no, we're not making it a rule, I'm not creating all this class system and what kind of powers your type your character is. We don't need to get into that. It's fine. So that was something I had to veto. I had to say, you know what? I know you're really pushing for this element of it, but no, we're not going there. And sometimes people are upset, but you know what? You're in charge. They got to deal with it.
Smooth, David.
Yeah. That's where a whole different skill set comes in, of being tactful and good diplomacy and knowing how to relate with people and say, I appreciate your idea, but I don't want to use it.
But like I said, you can develop an idea through a democracy system. And you can do that through talking to people and figuring out what they want and don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And then what else can you do to make sure you don't get caught up in the whole heat of the moment? Well, you need to always make sure that you go with what you have. It's your idea. You're the one in charge of it. And you need to make those business decisions. So let's say about business decisions. How do you weed out who says a good idea or who says a bad idea?
Well, one trick I've been using that's been working beautifully so far has been when all these ideas are coming at me at once, I have a notebook and I'm writing down every single one, all the problems and issues that need fixing, all the suggestions, everything. And I say, that's a great idea. I agree it needs to be considered, or this is a problem that needs to be fixed. I need to take a look at it later, play with some numbers, et cetera, and... we may or may not implement it. And that seems to keep people happy, where they're like, okay, he's heard me, my contribution has been valued, but you're not committing yourself either way on the spot. You're giving yourself some time to think on it away from all the pressure of the moment of everyone saying, we need this now. You can say, maybe we'll have it, maybe we won't. I need to take a closer look and think about it and see how it counterbalances with everything else. And you just make a note of it and go to it later. When it's just you and you have the time to really sit on the decision, and you as a business owner, you know, you do your own research or you trust your own intuition or some combination of the above, and then make your decision. And later, when everyone gets together again, you say, okay, here's what I came to. I thought about it, I looked into it, came to all these results, boom. and you're already saying this is the final decision. So they're just like, all right, cool, or, oh, well, that's what he decided. But it's they don't feel like they have to convince or persuade you anymore. In the first moment, they're like, it's a great idea, you need to do this, and they're all caught up in persuading mode. But if you come back later and say, I've thought about it, and this is what I decided, then they're like, okay, well, I was heard, but this is his project, he has the say. And for some reason, psychologically, it just works better.
Well, that's what President Obama does, is that he goes and listens to both sides, and he weighs it, and then he goes away, and he says, I'm going to deliberate it for a long period of time, and then he comes back, and everyone goes, oh, yay! He's so smart! Now, that's just a basic move that you can do to make sure that everybody gets to hear their input. Basically, you're becoming a judge of your own project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's basically what you are. Any kind of idea teams that you're working with, think tanks or whatever, if you're in charge of that, then I think that's a good strategy. Hear everyone's point of view, understand why they're arguing one way or another, make a note of it, and then out of the heat of the moment, because when you're in the moment, there's a lot of emotional pressure to make a decision right then and there. And as we all know, that's the worst way to make a decision, because you're not thinking it through, you're feeling emotionally pressured. Whether it's an internal pressure or an external pressure, either way, you don't want to make a decision like that. Have you ever experienced a situation where, you know, people are like, you know, they want to help, they want to see you be successful, and everyone, I don't care what business you're in, I've experienced this in other areas too, previous business ventures and stuff. Everyone's got an idea how it should be done. I had this experience on a screenplay where I had a writing partner and I were working on a screenplay, and together we were working great because we could bounce ideas off each other, we could make decisions, and we could move forward. And then when we had a finished first draft, we shared it with people and said, hey, you know, give us your feedback. Did you like the story? What did you think? And we even like created a little feedback form at the end for them to write their thoughts and opinions and notes, and we thought that was a great idea because that's what responsible people do, right?
Yeah, crazy.
What ended up happening was we started listening to everyone else's advice and opinions other than our own, and in short, the screenplay died. It was that too many cooks in the kitchen thing again. Too many Indians, not enough chiefs, as you said. Or too many chiefs and not enough Indians. And whatever expression you want to use. And then any business, any creative project, anything you're building or making needs a singular vision. Now, you can have a partner or so working with it as long as you all can share the vision. But when you start opening it up to general other people, they're all going to have their own slightly different visions and different versions of what they think it should be. And it's okay for a little bit of feedback, but stop it right there in your mind. It's just their opinion, one person's opinion and feedback. It's your project, your business. You know what's best. Even if you don't know what's best, it's still your business. You've got to figure it out. You've got to be responsible for success or failure, not them. They're gone. After they give their piece of advice, they disappear, and you're off making or losing money on it.
Yeah, and that's the thing I run into whenever I bring up an idea with someone. They say, oh, well, here's how we can make it better, or here's how you can make it work. And it runs into the problem that my dad brought up of you need to see in the future of when you can get a project to now and what you have a project that'll do 30, 40 years in the future. For example, we constantly say about a flying car. We don't have it yet, but we're getting closer. But you know what? We can improve a car. We can improve flight dynamics. We can improve a whole bunch of things. We're working on carbon composite for 787s now. Thank you, Boeing. I'll take the money out the door. But it's one of those things where I keep telling people, how about if you get an iteration now? And that's what I told you when you were doing your superhero thing, is just get an iteration now, because if you keep going to the point where it makes it perfect, and I have people constantly coming to me and say, oh, you can improve this, you can improve that, what about this, this, and this? And you just have to at some point in time say, break, time, focus.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually today had to say to one of these guys who's been helping out a lot with a lot of suggestions, and we had recently in this game introduced a magic system where, like, if your character used ice magic, then he was vulnerable to fire magic kind of thing. And it was rapidly making the game system way more complicated than it already was. And I kind of just made the executive decision, you know what, we don't need it. You can just make a power called I Can Shoot Fire. Done. That already works into the old system. We don't need to add this whole magic element. You can just say your character uses magic.
That's good.
So, yeah, that way the game stays simpler, less rules to worry about. And if I wanted to start adding class systems and magic systems and all that stuff, I can do that in a future release of the game, version 2.0 or something. But for right now, I need a workable, fun, simple version to package and get out there. And that's where I'm at, learning what to hold on to and what to cut.
And ultimately, it comes down to your customers that they just choose what they think is the best option to go with. And then you get to go and choose from what the customers think and say, hey, this is the path I'm going, because sometimes we've gone over that. Sometimes the customers don't know what they want.
Yeah. Well, Steve, was it you that were talking about, like, Steve Jobs, Apple Computers, for those who don't recognize the name? He doesn't look out at the marketplace and say, what do people want? He first looks inside himself, or he looks to what he imagines the future to be, and says, what will people want? What can I create that doesn't exist yet that everybody will want to have, that everyone will have a piece of, or want to be a part of? And then he starts with his vision and then makes it real, and everyone else signs on then.
Well, remember Bill Gates, he went out, he initially came back and said, the internet's not going to go anywhere, it's just a tool that's going to be amusing for people. And then he had his 8-day isolation chamber thing where he went away for 8 days and comes back and says, whoa, the internet's the future. Everyone needs to get on this. This is the most important thing we need to focus on. And they did.
Good.
And a couple of later, you got .net. But he went and isolated himself. And that's what you... And you see this a lot with politicians, and you see this a lot with individuals, is that if they don't isolate themselves from all the echoing chambers, you start to hear some of the things that they say become truthful in their minds, and they start to bounce things off their head. Like, let's just take, for example, your superhero thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say someone comes up to you and goes, hey, you know what? I think there should be a water fountain. And you go, what? A water fountain? Like, yeah, the people should have to drink water. That's a requirement. They have a water level. And then you start thinking about it from that one person, and then someone else comes up to you and goes, you know what? It'd be weird or kind of neat if it had something to do with real human beings. And you're like water? And they're like, yeah. Like, they need water. That'd be something. And then they need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And so then you get stuck on the endocrine system, and everyone else comes to you, and your brain is going, endocrine system, endocrine system. And all of a sudden, you start worrying about, where do the superheroes start having to go to the bathroom? Stupidest thing to add into a game.
Right, and then you got to make them eat 3 times a day, and they have to sleep, you know, for 8 hours a night. And you can build those rules into a game, but at some point, because everyone thinks it'll be more fun if you make it more realistic, but it's a superhero game. It's not supposed to be too realistic.
But the point I'm trying to strike at is, notice how that became really a big problem, because you were just listening to one person's idea. You had a couple other people come to you, and they started echoing, and you echoed into it what you thought you were listening for, what they were looking for. And without being isolated and thinking about the crazy concept that it is, which you said exactly right, it's a crazy idea.
So it sounds like the solution here is to get out of the echoing chamber every so often.
That's absolutely right.
To separate yourself, you know, get some quiet space, and just let your brain settle down from all the advice and opinions and suggestions and requests. And then take a look at them and say, okay, what do I think? What do I want? What do I believe? Etc. And then you come back into the fray and say, all right, guys, I'm back. Here's my decision. And you just say it like it's final. Don't say, well, I think we might do this. Because then they're like, oh, he's still thinking about it. And we want to give him more suggestions. If you're like, I went off to isolation, thought about it, and here it is. Done. And then they just they live with it or they leave it. You know, it's just how it works. I mean, have you run into this in your business, like with your tire paint? Have people been like, oh, it should do this or have that color or this feature, or I want to rub it on my clothes or something?
I've had a couple of people ask if they could do specialized items with it. Like, one person wanted to use it with kids. And as great as that may sound, one of the chemical ingredients we have in there is not something I want kids ingesting by accident. I mean, it's okay if you touch it for a little bit, but it's not okay if you touch it for a long period of time. So ingestion is not an option. So I wrote back to the person and said, yeah, you know, I don't think our product's the best idea, but maybe you can try this product from this company. So I'll actually tell someone else that. But not with this one, but with the toothbrush cleaner idea, that was really a big one that I had a lot of people giving input on. First, it came out as, oh, this will never work, so I should have stopped then. Then came the, you need to go big market. You need to be able to sell in every Walmart. And I said, yeah, you're absolutely right, but I can't make it happen. I don't have that kind of level. And that's probably one of the things that's troubling, is that you have probably the most brilliant idea, but it becomes difficult to actually sell it to someone because you need to get the certain amount of volume. And I just saw an item the other day, which I had an idea for about a year earlier this year, and it's coming out on the market. So I can't. There was no way I could build it myself because I didn't have that kind of market scheme, and I didn't have enough time to develop that. But you get people who come to you and say, "This is what you should do. You should put it in Walmart."
People with no business experience whatsoever.
Oh my gosh, if I could count them in.
Meaning well, but because everyone thinks they're an expert in anything. It amazes me how people who don't write will tell me how to be a better writer. People who don't run a business will tell me how to make a better business. People who have horrible relationships will tell me how to have a better relationship. If you're going to take advice from people who have the proven experience. But anyways, continue, Daniel.
Well, that's about it, David. We've run 27 minutes on this discussion topic, so we need to bring it home.
All right, let's bring it on home. Home on the
way. Well, you've been listening to the Small Business Podcast and David's topic of business decisions and too many cooks in the fire.
Too many stokes in the fire?
Well, you might want it. Too many stokes in the fire, too many chiefs and not enough Indians. And you get one more, David. Throw it out there.
Too many. I don't know. Just you guys get the idea. Remember,
you've got
finals week. My brain is mush from all the studying and cramming and stuff. Just
too many exams and not enough test takers.
There it is. Too many exams. Too many tax laws. Not enough small
accountants.
Businesses.
So if you'd like to go ahead and subscribe to our podcast, you can do so by going to smallpod.blogspot.com. You can write us emails with topic ideas by emailing us at smallbusinesspodcast@gmail.com. You can find out more about us by going to Facebook and becoming a fan by going to facebook.com and searching for
The Small Business Podcast.
Oh, it's so simple. Isn't it beautiful? So, David, you have something you want to pitch or sell?
Check out my website at tudeck.com.
And if you've been holding off on making an order from Ranger Tire Paint, please do so I can make Google AdWords feel like they're worthwhile. And you can do so by going to rangerpaint.com.
How is that going?
I will talk about that next week because I am curious. But
okay.
Until next week, I'm Daniel.
And I'm David.
Have a good week.
Thanks for listening.